Well, let's all take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. The book of 1 Samuel is kind of a transition book in the Bible. Before 1 Samuel, we have the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, the Bible says every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. And God has to raise up some men to stand on his side and be judges and say, hey, this is wrong, don't do this. Or let's go do what God said about battling this battle and taking the promised land, different things like that. And the judges, it's a book of cycles where the people, they do well while there's a judge helping them. And then the judge dies and the people backslide. And it keeps going up and down. And it's a rough time in the history of God's people there in the book of Judges. Well, then, a little bit after 1 Samuel, you get into the time of the kings, King David, King Solomon, and all these wonderful things that happen. Well, right in between that is the book of 1 Samuel. And it's named after the prophet Samuel. In chapter 1, we have the birth of Samuel, and he was born in a miraculous way because his mom, Hannah, was not able to have kids. And she went and prayed in the temple and said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him back to you to serve you all the days of his life. And so Samuel was born and given back to the Lord there at the temple to serve all the days of his life. Well, when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 2, we have Hannah expressing to the Lord some thanks for answering her prayer. Now, I got to look at this, and I was thinking, is this a prayer, or is this a song? Let's look down at 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none as holy as the Lord, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Father, I pray that as we look at this praise from Hannah, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to learn what it means to give you praise and exalt you with our life and with our lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So was it a song or a prayer? Well, in verse 1 it says that Hannah prayed. So it was a prayer. But then when I read about her horn being exalted, there's a couple different interpretations for that, but it could very well have been a musical horn. And this could have been a song that people after Hannah sung for generations to follow, and very well could have been a song. So is it a song or is it a prayer? Yes. It's a song and a prayer. I really think it's both. And many times the prayer of praise is a praise expressed in a song. Those of you that went to camp, one of the lasting impressions I have in my heart and life was going to this little camp called New Life Island. And I was on staff there, but there was an older counselor named Dave Natale. And when Dave got up early in the morning, he'd head to the showers, and he'd be there shaving there, and I'd hear him singing. And the song he would sing almost every morning was Blessed Redeemer. How many of you know that song? It's an unusual song. It's not like Amazing Grace or something like that. Blessed Redeemer, Precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. And Dave Natale, he was older than the rest of us, and so he had to like shave every morning, you know, and he got up and he was shaving and singing that song. And I'd be laying in bed and I'd hear him sing Blessed Redeemer just about every morning. And I thought, you know what? He's got a song in his heart. And that became one of my favorite songs because I learned it from him singing it. And I still love to sing it to this day. But you know, it was a song of praise to God. And he got up in the morning with a song of praise on his lips to God. Hannah here had a song of praise to God. I want us to see, first of all, the occasion for praise. The occasion for praise. Hannah's occasion for praise was answered prayer. Remember, she was in the temple. And she prayed earnestly that the Lord would give her a child. And now God had answered that prayer and given Samuel. And so here, she can't help but praise the Lord for what He's done. Folks, we will not know what it means to praise the Lord until we have answered prayer. And we will not have answered prayer until we pray specifically like Hannah did. In chapter 1, she prayed. She said, Lord, if you would give me a baby boy, then I will give him back to you to serve you all the days of his life. Now that's a pretty specific prayer, isn't it? She didn't just say, Lord, if you'll bless me and my family. Sometimes when we pray, we say, Lord, we pray that you'll bless our family. We pray that you bless our church. Lord, we pray that you bless my neighbors. Well, we don't even know what we mean by that. And I don't think the Lord knows what we mean by that either. Okay, we need to pray specifically. Hannah not only said, Lord, give me a child, she said, give me a man, a boy child. And then she made him a promise, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. So Hannah prayed specifically. When we pray specifically, then we can see specific answers, and then praise will come. I think some Christians don't ever praise God because they don't ever see answers to prayer. And they don't see answers to prayer because they don't ask for specific things. Now, you can ask for specific things and ask amiss. The book of James says that you may consume it upon your lusts. Just ask for things, you know, gimme, 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 God. Let me have this thing. Well, that's not going to work. But when we have the mind of God and we pray for things that He wants us to pray for and we ask specifically, then God can answer. And when He answers, you're going to have a song of praise. You're going to get so excited. We will not have answered prayer till we pray steadfastly. Remember in chapter 1, it says that Hannah prayed continuously. She prayed steadfastly. And now she had an answer, and it just erupts in praise to God. Oh, the sweetness. Oh, the joy when God answers your prayer. And the song of thanks just kind of wells up within us and bursts forth in praise to our prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. It's a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. The occasion of praise is answered prayer. Would you latch on to something today and say, Lord, I'm going to keep praying for this thing until you answer or until you change the request of my heart, Lord. And then start asking God for that specific request. And then when He answers, you'll be able to praise Him like Hannah did. And that song of praise will erupt. Secondly, I'd like us to see the occurrence of praise. When should praise occur? Folks, it ought to be a part of our regular prayer time. We ought to have something to praise God for every single day. Gratefulness, I'm afraid, is disappearing from our culture today. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, when gratefulness dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And it's true in a lot of ways. When we don't have gratefulness, when we don't have thankfulness, when we don't have praise for God and all the things He's done for us, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. How do you feel if you do something unusual for your kid, your child, and they don't thank you? Does that bug you? Does it make you think, man, what kind of kid am I raising here? Ungrateful wretch, you know, what's wrong with this kid? Why didn't he say thank you? And sometimes that gratefulness is lacking not only in the kids, but sometimes in us grown-ups as well. You know, we find it hard sometimes to thank God for all the things that He's done. Maybe you're having some rough times in your life. Maybe things aren't going the way that you wish they would go. Maybe at work it's not going well, or at school it's not going well. Physically, things aren't going well. And you can choose to focus on those things if you want. And if your focus is there, then pray about those things. But why not also focus on some of the good things that God has done? Why not lift up our hearts in praise and say, God, you've at least let me get out of bed today. Lord, you've given me a family. Sure, we're having some problems right now, but you've given me a family to rejoice in. You've given me a church to go to that preaches the Bible and stands for the Word of God. Let's be thankful for some of the things that God has given us. Let's have that gratefulness in our heart. And Hannah here, she prayed for God to do something. Well, then she goes out of her way to express some praise to God. I noticed that we have it word for word here. I don't think that Hannah just said it one day and somebody sat there and wrote it down. I think probably Hannah wrote it down. And then when the Lord had Samuel write this portion of the Bible, it was tradition, it was passed down, and he wrote it in there. And God had him write it. It's part of God's Word for us today. It's inspired. It's part of God's Word. So Hannah made something special about her praise to God. She said, Lord, you did something special for me. I'm going to write this song. And it caught on throughout Israel, and they sung it for generations to come, and we have it in our Bible today. You know, maybe God's done something special for you. Do you know that most of the hymns in our hymn book come from God doing something special for somebody? Maybe Him bringing them through a trial, and then they write that hymn. Or Him answering a specific prayer, and they write that hymn. Somebody says, well, how come we don't have any hymns today? That's a good question. We ought to. We ought to have some hymns of praise being written today of things that God has done in our lives, and us praising Him for it, and exalting Him for it. And it's a wonderful thing. That praise ought to be a daily occurrence in our prayer time. Jesus told the story of the 10 lepers. He healed all 10 of them. Anybody know how many came back to give thanks? Only one. Only one. And I'll tell you, I look at that and I say, Lord, I want to be that one. I want to be a thankful person. Not only thankful to people, but thankful to you, God. Express that thankfulness. We try to teach our kids that thankfulness has to be expressed. You have to say it in order to be thankful. And one of our kids, when he was really little, he would say thank you all the time. And he would say it even when there was not something really to be thankful for. He'd just go, thanks, Dad. For what? I don't know. Thanks, Dad. He was just I don't know, 3-4 years old. He would just say thanks for no reason. So, well, one time I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. And he goes, thanks, Dad. And I didn't know what it was for. And I said, well, thank you for thanking me. Okay. So that was kind of interesting. I said, thank you for thanking me. Just see what his response was. So I said that a couple times. And then one day he said, thanks. And I said, well, thank you for thanking me. And he said, well, thank you for thanking me for thanking you. Okay. And after a while, I have to admit, it actually got on Cheryl and I's nerves a little bit. We kind of got, it was like, man, this kid just said, but I said, Cheryl, don't squelch this. Don't squelch thankfulness. This is a good thing that he's saying thank you. And eventually he'll grow up and he'll learn when to say it, but let's not squelch it. It's interesting. Hannah's prayer request was never verbalized. Remember, she was praying silently and the priest Eli thought she must be drunk or something. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just praying to God. She never verbalized her request, but she verbalized her prayer of praise, didn't she? See, praise and thanksgiving is not praise, it's not thanksgiving, unless it's expressed. Too often we say, well, I got a thankful heart. No, it's got to be expressed. Praise has got to be expressed. Well, let's move on. The third thing I'd like you to see today is the occupation of praise. Praise occupies itself with the character of God. more than the things that God has done. Now, I think we can praise God, or perhaps we ought to say we can thank God for the things He has done. Lord, thank You for the beautiful creation. Thank You for the sun shining. Thank You for the rain that keeps things green. We can praise Him for the things He's done. Lord, thank You for saving my soul. Thank You for helping me follow You in baptism and membership. Thank You, Lord, for giving me the Bible, the Word of God. Thank You. We can thank God for things He's done. But praise is a little different than just thanking Him. Praise occupies itself with the character of God. Instead of thanking Him for what He's done, which we ought to do, praise praises Him for who He is. You see, you could talk to God about what He's done and thank Him for it, and that's good. But you should also talk to Him about who He is. And that's what praise is all about. Think about it in your own life. You feel differently when people thank you or when they praise you. Okay? If I said to Charlie, hey, thanks for helping set up all the chairs and all the stuff for church this morning, I would be thanking him for something he did. And he'd probably feel, oh, I'm glad he said thank you, you know? But praising somebody for who he is would be saying, Charlie, praise the Lord for your character to be here and help us set up even when you worked all night last night. Praise the Lord for your character. Well, now I'm talking about who he is. And that means a little more, doesn't it? Well, when we give praise to God, we not only talk about the things he's done, that's thankfulness, but we need to praise him for who he is. Matthew Henry said about Hannah's prayer here, he said, Hannah overlooks the gift and praises the giver. Did you notice when we read verses 1 through 10, she never talks about Samuel. Now, she hints at it. She says the barren has borne 7 children. So she hints at it, but she never says, Lord, thank you so much for giving me Samuel. She overlooks the gift to focus on the giver. And that's what praise is all about. We ought to have more joy in the Lord than we do in the things that the Lord has done for us. Does that make sense? Okay, more joy in the Lord. Let me show this to you. Look down again in the chapter now. We're going to focus on the chapter a little more. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. First of all, she praises God for his holiness. She says, God, you are holy. You are totally separate from sin. We ought to praise God for that. We ought to lift him up for that. Aren't you glad that he's totally separate from sin? He's never going to change his mind and say, well, I know I said that if you receive me as Savior, I take you to heaven, but I guess I lied about that. No, he's totally separate from the sin of lying. He's never going to change his mind. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Isn't that a great thing? That he's holy? He's totally apart from sin? Now, it could be an awesome thing. We could think, oh man, he's totally apart from sin. I'm in big trouble. And the truth is, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in big trouble. That's why he died on the cross, to wash away our sins. Because without holiness, no man can see God, the Bible says. I can't get to heaven on my own goodness. Because God's holy. He can't allow any sin in heaven. And all of us are sinners. But that's why Jesus died, to wash away our sins. And so now when God looks at me, he sees the holiness of Christ. Because I've received Christ as my Savior. And if you've done that, God no longer sees your sin. He sees the holiness of Christ. Now, he wants us to live out that holiness. We won't do it perfectly. We won't be perfect till we get to heaven. But he wants us to live out that holiness. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, well, that's too hard. I can't do that. Yeah, that's true. But if we allow Christ to live out his life through us, he can live a holy life through us, right? And it's only the times when I take my life back to myself that I sin and I'm not living holy. Because when Christ is in control, then we're living holy. And he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So holiness, she praises God for that. Then in verse 2, she calls him the rock. In Psalm 62, verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. You see, God is called a rock, and the rock of my strength. She praises God for His strength. You know, we have no strength in and of ourselves, but He's our strength. He can pull you through the day. He can pull you through the week. He can help you overcome the trial because He's the rock of your strength. And a rock doesn't shift. It doesn't move. It's going to stand firm. And our God stands firm. We can rely on Him. We can rest on Him. We don't have to worry. He's not some little pebble where you step on it and it's going to shift. He's the rock. Okay? He's that boulder. We can trust Him. And Hannah praises Him for being her strength. Then in verse 3, she praises Him for His knowledge. She says, "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." She says, don't let those things come out of your mouth because God knows it. And He knows our actions as well. Perhaps here she's referring to Elkanah's other wife. Remember, Elkanah made a mistake. He married two wives. And Peninnah, the other wife, gave Hannah a hard time and said, "Yeah, you don't have any kids. I got a bunch of them. He loves me more." And she teased him. Well, she says, "Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth anymore, because God's on my side. He's given me a child. God's on my side." But notice she says, God is a God of knowledge, so don't let those things come out of your mouth. Psalm 139, verse 4 says, "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Now that could be a bad thing, and that could be a good thing. It could be a bad, "Oh man, God knows when I said that. When I said that foul word the other day, or when I was disrespectful to my authority, or when I was grumbling and complaining, God knows every word." But it could also be a good thing. "Lord, You know that I said that word of witness for You today. You know I tried to take a stand for what was right today. Lord, You know what I said." And somebody comes to you and says, "I can't believe You said that." And they're really mad at you, and you say, "Lord, You know I didn't say that. You know every word." And it could be a blessing. It could be a good thing. But He knows it. He knows every word that comes out of our mouth. And she praises Him for it. She says, "Thank You, Lord, that You know all the words that come out of people's mouths." Maybe somebody's giving you a hard time like Peninnah was doing to Hannah. Maybe somebody's just really getting on your case and riding you for all it's worth. And you think, "Lord, don't You know what they're saying?" Yeah, He knows. "Lord, it's not right what they're saying." God says, "I know it's not right. You just walk before Me. You trust Me, and I'll bring you through." And she praises God for His knowledge. Look at verse 4 and 5. She praises Him for His justice. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread." Okay, they were full, and they seemed to have everything. And now they're having to hire themselves out in order to get bread. And then the people that were hungry, they've ceased. They're not hungry anymore. Those that were barren, now they have kids. And those that had lots of kids have waxed feeble. In other words, God's going to work things out in the end. His justice is going to prevail. Sometimes, as a Christian, you might be tempted to say, "Well, God, I'm serving You, and now this bad thing's happened. And here this wicked guy I work with, he gets promoted, or he gets a raise." And we might say, "Lord, this isn't fair." Wait a minute. God's going to work it out in His time. His justice will prevail. And Hannah could have said, "Lord, I don't have any kids, and Peninnah does. It's not fair." But no, God worked it out. And those that had many became feeble. And those that were barren had 7 children. She said 7's the number of perfection. And God worked it out. Now, if you study it out in chapter 1, Hannah actually had 6 kids. But some people think that Samuel was the double blessing and counted it as a double. We're not sure about that. But God works out. His justice prevails. Let's go on a little further. Verse 6 through 8, we see God's sovereignty. The sovereignty of God means that He is in control. Look at this in verse 6. "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. The Lord bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." Okay, the Lord is in control, folks. Doesn't God know what's going on right now with my condition? The Lord is in control, and He's working it out for His cause, and for our benefit if we're a believer. Romans 8:28, precious promise, says that if we love God and we're called according to His purpose, that all things work together for our good. That means He loves us. He's working out. We might not see how it's good. We might not understand till we get to heaven. But He's sovereign. He's in control. God's not up there saying, oh man, how did that guy get elected? No, He's in control. He's not up there saying, oh no, look at this bad thing that's happening to that person at Bethel Baptist Church. No, God knows what's going on. He doesn't make the bad thing happen. Sometimes He allows things. Usually bad things happen because of sin. Not necessarily because of your own sin, just because of the presence of sin in the world. God created this world with no problems, perfect, until sin came in. So don't get mad at God about it. Don't get bitter about it. Just say, God, You're sovereign. You're in control. I'm just going to trust You. It's going to come out on the other side. I'm just going to go through that trial and trust You. And she praises God for His sovereignty. She went through an awful trial. We men cannot understand what it's like for a woman not to be able to have a child. We could say we understand, but we probably don't. But Hannah made it through and came out on the other side. In verse 8, she praises Him for being creator. She says at the end of the verse, to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world upon them. God is the creator. Hey, don't let them tell you in the public school that this world just evolved. No, praise God for being the creator. You thank Him and praise Him for being the one who's made all things. And then in verse 9, she praises Him for faithfulness. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. He'll keep the feet of His saints. Did you know that in the Bible, a saint is anyone who's been saved? A saint is not like what the Catholic Church says, you know, someone who the Pope says is really spiritual, so we'll call him a saint. No, in the Bible, a saint is anyone who's received Jesus as their Savior. Okay? So if you've received Christ, you're a saint. He keepeth the feet of His saints. In other words, you're not going to slip and fall. You're not going to, spiritually speaking, He's going to take care of you. He's going to help you in this walk of life. He keepeth the feet of His saints. And He's faithful. I got a blessing today singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Instead of focusing on the problems, let's focus on those new mercies. He's faithful. Do you praise Him for His faithfulness? These words are listed for you in the white sheet in your bulletin. And perhaps you can take that sheet with you and make it a praise sheet. And just go through some of those qualities of God during your prayer times this week and say, Lord, I just want to exalt You and lift You up for some of these things. You're my Creator. You made me. You're incredible, God. You're faithful. You never let me down. Friends, they might be unfaithful. They might fail me. But God, You never fail. Lastly today, let's see the approval of praise. God approves of praise. Throughout the Bible, God gives His stamp of approval to praise. When Solomon praised, God's glory filled the temple. Remember that? When the Israelite army praised God, they went and defeated the enemy, even though they were outnumbered. There's one story in Chronicles where they sent the choir out in front of the army. They said, okay, there's the enemy. Choir, you go first and praise God, and the army, you follow. And the choir went up praising God, and God defeated the enemy. See, God always puts His stamp of approval on praise. And here, when Hannah praises God, God puts His stamp of approval in verse 10. He gives her some prophecy. Let's read verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. You know what? Israel didn't even have a king yet. And yet Hannah says He's going to give strength to His king. There wasn't going to be a king for a while because Samuel was going to grow up, and then the Lord was going to use Samuel to anoint the first king of Israel, King Saul. And then He's going to use Samuel to anoint King David. But Hannah's given a prophecy here. And shortly after the birth of Samuel, she says, Lord, You're going to anoint Your king, And then it says at the end of verse 10, his anointed. His anointed. You know, that word anointed is the same word that is translated in our Bible in Daniel chapter 9 as Messiah. Messiah. And when we talk about Jesus, he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one of God. He is the one who is going to come and be our Savior. And as Hannah is given this prophecy from the Lord, I think it's a twofold prophecy. It could be talking about the fact that a king was going to be anointed, and then King David would be anointed, and then his horn would be exalted, and he would be a great king. But folks, it's also a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And she's saying that Jesus Christ is going to come as God's anointed, God's Messiah, and he's going to one day reign forever and ever, and he'll be exalted. It says in Philippians chapter 2, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Someday every knee is going to bow to Christ. Someday even the proud person who says, "I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God," or "I don't believe Jesus is really God," every knee is going to bow to him. And every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. But you know what? For some people, when they do it, it's going to be too late. Because once we die, once Christ comes back, the window of opportunity for you to receive Christ as Savior is going to disappear. And so, before you die, you've got to come to the point where you bow the knee to him now, where you say, "Jesus, you died for me. You're the Savior. I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven by good deeds, church membership, baptism, any of these good things. Lord, I can only get to heaven through what Jesus did for me." And then you just call upon him and ask him to save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're a longtime member of Bethel Baptist Church or you're a first-time guest, it doesn't matter. You've got to have that time when you've received Christ as your Savior. If you've already done it, the Lord remembers it. If you're not sure you've done it, let me encourage you to do it today. Because you'll never have a song of praise like Hannah until first the Lord saves your soul. And then he can hear your prayers, answer those prayers, and you'll have songs of praise on a daily basis bursting forth from your lips, because God will hear and answer those prayers and give you that opportunity to praise him. Let's bow our heads.